Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hey, 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 family. I'm doing my best to put my other mic on, and as soon as I'm able to do that, we will be able to have a better production here. So I'm going to try it one more time and see what I can do. And if y'all hold on a second, we'll see if we can get this show started the correct way.
Hello. That's what's been going on. Have I been having a hard time with my show not acting right? That's what I get for taking forever and a day to to do shows. I forget how to do them properly. So let me start all over again from where I was. First, I was letting everyone know that I had a challenging experience because I went to a picnic around the corner at 4 o'clock and thought I would be able to come back and do my show on time. And then the next thing that happened was that when I got to the studio, I couldn't get the numbers in right. And so I guess I've been talking and my mic hasn't been hot, so people haven't been hearing what I've been saying, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good sign. So let me calm down, chill out, and tell everybody I'm happy to be here. And I'm glad that the mic is up and running now. And I hope this doesn't bother people who call in at a later date, because we have been talking for at least five minutes, and no one has heard a word that I've said. But it's only been 5 minutes, not like in the past when it was a whole entire show, and I realized when the show was over that nobody heard what I was saying. So let me calm down. I let everybody know that I went to the picnic around the corner from me. It's first annual Loudoun Equality Pride picnic, and it was hopping and jumping, even though we've had some rainy seasons here. But it's under a pavilion, and so they're under a roof, and the food is just flowing, and they're about to play games, and I told them I'll be back later for the games. I also wish the Muslims of the world Ramadan Mubarak, let them know and let everyone know that this is the Islamic month of Ramadan. Muslims all over the world are fasting from sunrise to sunset. And I was talking about the fact that we're moving into this topic on empaths once again, because empaths are, people are becoming more and more sensitive. And that's why I keep bringing up this topic. Now, I've been a sensitive all of my life. As a matter of fact, I was so overwhelmed with being a sensitive or an empath that I used to drink, thinking I could turn that bad boy off because I was feeling too much of everybody's everything, and it wasn't a healthy thing for me. So I self-medicated by doing the drinking thing. I'm glad to say that the 1st of June, I had 22 years of sobriety. So I've learned to get through my empathic angst and my empathic challenges without the need of drugs or alcohol to tone down the stimulus of the world around me, because it can be a horrible, horrible, horrible thing for people who don't know how to work through the challenges of being an empath. So I was watching the wedding. I never ever did that. I didn't watch any of the royal weddings in the past, but for some reason I had to watch the one on the 18th between Meghan and Prince Harry. And it fascinated me, some of the things that I picked up on. And I think this is a spiritual happening that's going on across the face of this earth, because just like we have the guy in the White House, he was considered a wild card that's throwing things all out of whack. There are certain things that are happening that are putting things into perspective, like the Queen of England validating and endorsing this woman into the royaldom based upon all the things that she was that were not standard royal, quote-unquote, royal material, you know, biracial, divorced, California, American. I mean, you name it, you know, she was not what the royals considered royalty back in the day. The other thing that was amazing to me, these wild cards that are coming forth, was when the Pope, the highest quote-unquote so-called religious order on the face of this earth, recognized by many Catholics, said to a gay gentleman, "You are just like everyone else, and I love you too." It's like God made you who you are. For the Pope to say that, that was a mind blower for a lot of your religious folks. So things are changing. They may not be changing as fast as we would like for them to change, but things across the face of this earth are changing nicely and smoothly in their own time, you know. And our Creator knows all things, and things happen in their own time. And so we'll just wait and see. So what is an empath? Let's talk about that. Being an empath should be seen as a leap in the soul's evolutionary consciousness. Walt Whitman said, "I do not ask the wounded person how he feels. I myself become the wounded person." Empathy is the ability to imagine what's it like to be them. The difference between sympathy and empathy, lots of folks don't know that. They think it's the same thing. A person in the level of ego feels sympathy for others. When he sees someone in emotional distress, he may or may not recognize the pain as something he has experienced before. If he doesn't recognize the pain, he may judge it and say the person is faking it, making it up, just trying to get some attention, or perhaps some other dismissing statement, or they much like it. I mean, you know, they stay there. If he does not recognize the pain as something he has experienced before, it may, in fact, frighten him. He does not want to re-experience that pain again, if at one time he did suffer that type of pain. There is a small thought which is buried deep within that says, I'm grateful it's him and not me. Sympathy is a mixture of sadness for the self with sadness for the other. He only partially connects to the other person because the goal is to keep some distance between his brother's pain and himself. Now, sympathy is self-protection, veiled in caring. Got that? Sympathy is self-protection veiled in caring. It looks as if the focus is on caring for another person. But the truth, sympathy is focused on the needs of the self. A person at the level of the heart feels empathy for others. Whether or not he has ever experienced the exact nature of his brother's pain is irrelevant to his ability to recognize it and rise to meet it. He is able to put himself in the other person's shoes. The person capable of empathy isn't concerned with the self, but is concerned with the experience of the other. He isn't afraid to feel his own pain and therefore isn't afraid to feel someone else's. The goal of the empath is to see, feel, and know the other person's experience independent of his own. What is an empath? An empath is a person who lives in the level of the heart or the fourth density consciousness, is capable of love as empathy. At this level of spiritual evolution, he is able to see that others are equal to himself in every single way. He sees that their feelings are just as valid as his own are, no matter what their feelings happen to be. He sees that their perceptions are equally valid, even if they differ from his own. He sees that their needs are equally important to his. He understands that no one is right and no one is wrong. He understands that human suffering deserves compassion, no matter the reasons, causes, or conditions. Now, being an empath should be seen as a leap in the soul's evolutionary consciousness. The difference between a person who lives in the station of ego versus a person who lives in the station of love is a qualitative shift in sight. Okay? So that insight is qualitative. Empaths generally have their own unique set of challenges because they are unafraid to feel human suffering. They sense it everywhere. Think of an empath as a super-tuned antenna which picks up thousands of radio frequencies day and night. An empath focuses and faces the task of learning not how to be more tuned in, but how to filter the signals before he receives them. He must learn discernment if he is to retain his own sanity. And that's the truth. Empaths have to discern what they're going to allow in, what they're going to allow not to come in, because sometimes stuff will start coming in and you're not aware of what's happening, and but as soon as you pick up on it, you got to immediately learn how to block it or to how to merge it without it affecting you. Let's talk about helping. Since empaths feel the suffering of others, they usually have a strong desire to help. Some empaths develop a desire to take away the suffering of others. It's vital to take the middle road with this as we step into healership, because there are a lot of empaths that are healers. You may have heard of a little something called free will here. Okay, let's talk about free will when you're an empath and you're moving into that healership mode. Free will is the first and most important law of the universe. It means that each individual has a right to learn and grow at his own pace and in his own way. It is each person's right to learn his own lessons. And the way humans learn a lot of times is through pain. It would be an infraction of the law of free will for a healer to attempt to take something out of a person. Empaths have the ability to understand and to guide a person toward a better place, but they do not have permission to remove or absorb someone else's suffering. You know, sometimes when people come to me for help, if I know how to help them, or if I know what they might be able to try to do, I don't do it for them. Of course I could, but I don't do it for them. They have to walk through that process, and they have to do that, do everything that I would have done for them. I will guide them into doing it for themselves. Those days of me doing it for people, doing it for groups, me doing it for a person are long gone. I used to be able to see, I used to be able to feel it, and I used to be able to do it. No. I see it, I feel it, and then I say to you, this is what I believe you can do to solve your problem. I'm not doing it for you. Those days, like I say, are long gone. But there are some empaths that feel it so strongly that they walk out there and they try to do it for you or do it for the group or do it for the person, and they wind up getting themselves messed up and twisted around. So it is each person's right to learn his own lessons, and the way humans learn sometimes is through pain. Empaths have the ability to understand and to guide a person toward a better place, but they do not have permission to remove or absorb someone else's suffering. Even if it were permissible for empaths to take someone's suffering from them, it's not actually possible. You know, have you ever had a healing session where the healer waved their hands and magically removed a darkness from your being? You may have been told you were healed, and for a short while you probably were. But be honest, did the issue return? You know who you are. Someone works on you, does some healing on you, and, you know, and for a moment, you know, you're able to do what you couldn't do, lift that arm in ways that you couldn't lift that arm before. For sure, it will return, though. The reason why is that you cannot escape your own karmic learning. Until you do your own work, it's not going to last. It is not possible to take away someone's process of struggling through their lessons. Humans either do their work to learn the lesson or they stay in pain. There's no other way out. Okay, When an empath attempts to absorb or process someone else's pain through their own being, it can injure the helper. Opening one's field to take on the energy of another can drain one's vital energy and damage the energy body. We have to maintain great care for ourselves if we are able to have any chance of helping the world. The point isn't to try to fix the suffering of others. It's simply to be with them in their distress and to point toward a healthier way. Empathy in the level of the heart or the fourth density is a sign of spiritual maturity. Empathy means that we realize we are all equally important. Your pain, my pain, their pain, we all matter the same. Now, Paige Bartholomew. Paige Bartholomew is a psychotherapist, and she gave a writing on the seven sacred tasks of each level of your soul growth. If any soul task is left incomplete, painful symptoms will show up in your life and your relationships. We're going to take you through those seven steps. Those are your seven chakras, starting with the root chakra, working all up through the solar plexus, you know, all the way up, heart chakra, throat chakra. We're going to work through these chakras. We're going to see where you are in your spiritual growth as you progress through this evolutionary process. So maybe you've done a ton of healing work. You've read all the self-help books. You meditated with the best of them, but still something just does not feel right. Here's what you need to know. Your seven chakras aren't just energy centers. Some people don't even know that they have seven chakras. Some people don't even know they have seven energy centers. That's for another show, because we did do chakras once before, but there are seven energy centers of the body. Okay? They're not just energy centers. They are sacred containers of knowledge which contain an enormous amount of specific information for your growth. These are your energy centers. Each chakra holds within it a soul task which must be mastered. If any soul task is left incomplete, painful symptoms will show up in your life and your relationship. These symptoms are signs showing you where you need to do your work. Now, if you're going to be an empath, if you are an empath, you will have evolved to at least the fourth one, coming on up to the fifth. Okay? So let's talk about the first chakra. That's that root chakra. You know, this is like the flight or fight one. This is keep. You got to keep yourself safe. If you're out of balance in this soul task, you might notice that you put others' needs before your own, to your detriment. You may allow situations or relationships into your life that hurt you. You may rationalize that you deserve the pain for whatever reason you're rationalizing this such thing. You might turn on yourself, speak harshly to yourself. You may even hate yourself. There are some people out there that do hate themselves. To improve your health in this chakra, make a commitment to observe the ways that you devalue yourself and let others devalue you. The truth is, no one is more important than you, and you are no more important than anyone else. Your needs matter as much as anyone else's, so stay mindful every day. a deep purification process like this takes time. So keep at it until you feel more stabilized. Now, Paige Bartholomew gives you books that you can read so you can grow each one of these centers. So for the first one, she recommends that you can read Self-Compassion, Learning How to Have Compassion for Yourself, and that's by Kristen Neff. And then there's Healing the Shame That Binds You. That's by John Bradshaw. There are a lot of people who have done things out there that they're ashamed of, and they're really upset with themselves about what they've done. That's why I like 12-step programs, because by the time you get through step 1, 2, and 3, and you get to step 4, you start taking a fearless and moral inventory of yourself, you know? And then you, when you get to 5, you admit to yourself, God, and another human being, the exact nature of your wrongs. I mean, there's a process with those 12 steps. And it's sad to say that if you need to be in recovery and you stop using or drinking or gambling or whatever your addiction was, once you stop, if you have not gone through that 12-step process to clean your spiritual house, your spiritual self, you're destined to have a relapse. Any day now, okay? Are you going to live in your sobriety, in your abstinence, miserably? Because you haven't taken all the steps to clean yourself spiritually. Okay? That's my preaching for the day. The second chakra task, connect with others. We can't make healthy connections with others if we believe everyone else is better, smarter, or that they matter more than we do. You know, see how the health of each chakra has to be solid before we can fully master the next one? If you're not on balance in this soul task, you might notice that it feels hard to make and keep friends. Connection may feel difficult for you. To improve your health in this chakra, start with a commitment of daily self-inquiry and examination. Observe your own behaviors and feelings around others. Take small steps towards interaction with people. Set goals for joining in with groups. Remember, your commitment is all you need. If you are committed, the healing will come. Paige recommends you read this book if you're having problems with this chakra, Safe People by Henry Cloud. Now, your third chakra task, moving right along here, set boundaries. Symptoms of ill health in the third chakra show up as either a tendency to be too nice and let people walk all over you, or to be as a big cheese, believing that you are entitled to more than your fair share. You must learn healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries. If you are out of balance in this chakra, you might have a hard time saying no. You may grieve a lot about other people's pain. You may worry about how someone will feel if you set down boundaries. Or you may feel an impulse to run over people to get your needs met. To improve your health in this chakra, first commit to observing your patterns and discover the reasons for them. Then make a solid commitment to boundary setting. Learn to say yes and no at appropriate times, both to others and to yourself. You must learn to say no to toxic people, places, and situations, and say yes to beautiful, fair, kind ones. Setting boundaries is the sole task that balances the ego. You might want to read books like Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life by John Townsend and Henry Cloud, or Reclaim Your Life, Understanding Toxic Relationships, What to Do, and When to Leave by Jennifer Reed. The fourth chakra task, forgive. Here we go. We're at the fourth chakra. If you're out of balance in this soul task, you might notice that you have trouble forgiving yourself or others. And once again, it says yourself or others. Okay? A lot of times we may forgive other people, but we don't think that we need to forgive ourselves, because there's a lot of stuff we did in our day, a lot of ugly stuff that we need to take stock of, look at, roll it around, and say, you know, I forgive myself for what I have done. You know, you ask your higher power to forgive you, and then you turn around and forgive yourself. You might be hurt or angry about things that happened a very long time ago. You might hold grudges. Forgiveness is the sole task that opens the heart. If we are unable to forgive, we will be unable to move into the fourth density consciousness, which is vital if we are to shift into the new earth. Forgiveness requires a change of heart. Forgiveness occurs when we accept that our brother or ourself is in truth innocent and deserves our compassion. No matter what you did, no matter what they did, the soul is innocent. I remember when somebody did something horrible to me, and I knew I had to forgive that person, and I could not see fit to forgive that person. And then one day what I did was I got on my knees and I had that person's image in my brain, looking at them, and the pain and the hurt and the hate that I wanted to project at them was there. And so what I did was imagined my mind's energy going deep within, through, past their human image, deep within to their center, and I found what I perceived as their soul. And I imagine it being a little teeny, shriveled up like raisin, because the ego had so overpowered this good essence within this person, and that's what I began to pray for, okay? And that's how I was able to come out and not let the horror of my feelings towards the human being keep me from my own spiritual growth. So no matter what you did, no matter what they did, the soul is innocent. If you're having trouble discerning whether or not to trust someone who is toxic or dangerous, go back to the third chakra, okay? You have more work to do there. The third one is establishing boundaries and saying no to toxic people. Doesn't say you can't forgive them. You know, I forgive you. It doesn't mean I have to like you. You know, it doesn't mean I have to be around you. I don't have to do all of that. The boundaries have been set. You have more work to do if what you're doing is trying to discern whether or not to trust someone who is toxic or dangerous. I have family members that I love dearly, but the energy is toxic. I prefer not to be around it. Okay? So, it's a good thing. Here we go. For those of us having problems with that fourth chakra experience and forgiveness, you can read books like Forgiveness, A Bold Choice for a Peaceful Heart by Robin Kasarigian. Nice name. And Love is Letting Go of Fear by Gerald G. Jampolsky, and that's Gerald with a G. Okay, the fifth chakra. We're moving right along here to the throat chakra. I mean, you know, embodying fearless truth. What else would the throat chakra represent? Okay, your fourth chakra is the heart chakra. Fourth chakra is the throat chakra. And embodying fearless truth. Symptoms of ill health in the fifth chakra show up as a fear of speaking your truth. Boy, do I get in more trouble speaking my truth. And I'll tell you why when we get to the end of this. You may be afraid of the consequences when you say what you deeply believe. You may fear hearing what someone else deeply believes. When this chakra is balanced, you'll know how to discern truth from falsehood because you will have effectively grasped all of the soul paths from the previous chakras. Here, the soul is becoming pure. To heal an imbalanced fifth chakra, practice knowing your truth. Practice standing firm in your truth. And finally, practice speaking your truth while remembering to maintain pristine compassion and respect for others. That's the importance of this chakra. You can speak your truth. You can stand in your truth. You can know your truth and not be afraid to speak that truth, okay? But you got to practice speaking your truth while maintaining pristine compassion and respect for others. No disrespect. No hanging up on them. None of that stuff. Well, I done spoke my truth. Now I can hang up on you. You know, no dismissing people. That is rude and obnoxious. That is not speaking your truth. That is ignorance. That is ego. So, we must understand that to speak our truth is to speak our truth. But we must do it, once again, by maintaining pristine compassion and respect for others. You can read books such as The Fifth Chakra Healing Book by K.G. Stiles and The Storm Inside. Trade the Chaos of How You Feel for the Truth of Who You Are by Sheila Walsh. The Sixth Chakra Task: Become One with Creation. Go for a walk. Just feel that you are a part of all that there is. When the sixth chakra soul task is incomplete, we do not see others as ourself. We see them as separate. It is a very high state of being to actually be able to see others as yourself. It's more than just sympathy. It's more than just being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. We're talking about literally seeing your brother as you, seeing that you are the same being at the core, you know, that soul center. The truth is, we are all only one being. Everything in creation, everything, is an aspect of the Creator. Every human being is an aspect of the divine in human form. So it is all one. Even this desk that I'm leaning on, I am an aspect piece part of it. Why? Because we're made out of the same stuff. You know those little atoms and molecules? We're nothing but big balls of energy. So is this desk, big ball of energy, the same type of energy, just maybe vibrating at another level of energy form. So, symptoms of ill health in the chakra, in this particular chakra, show up as subtle projections onto other people. He is less evolved than I am. Oh, boy, yeah. You know, symptoms also show up as a sense of separation. I'm glad it's them and not me. To restore health in the sixth chakra, meditation is necessary. Become quiet and get to know yourself in stillness. Practice seeing your neighbor as yourself. Practice seeing a tree as yourself. Practice seeing a terrorist as yourself. Feel it as real. Feel it as though it were real. So this exercise will teach you how to touch unity. You might also read books like A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle and A Course in Miracles. I think I'm going to revisit that Course in Miracles. That's one big book. But my understanding is you start reading The Course in Miracles and you start being zapped out off into a whole total another dimension, and like you walking on air almost. Seven chakra tasks. Become one with the creator. That's the crown chakra, way up there. The sixth chakra is the third eye chakra, right there at the forehead. Seventh chakra is the crown, right there at the top. Become one with the creator as is such a high state that humans are not capable of maintaining it for long periods of time. Like the story in the Bible when God revealed himself to the mountain and it crumbled to dust, we dissolve back into allness when we reach this eternal station. We slip into states of divine knowingness, drink from them, and then we slip back out. It's that way by design. Each time we slip in, the experience changes us so profoundly, we are never the same human being again. Our sole task at this chakra is not a matter of reaching perfection, because we never will. This chakra is infinite. Our task here is to open to the mystery of the absolute as often as possible, and to surrender our small self into its intelligence. Practice by meditating on loving your creator. Meditate on opening your entire being and offering it to the service of your creator. Ask for help from your creator, for your human self cannot know how to explore the realms of the Most High without help from the Most High. You might try reading books like Mystics, Masters, Saints, and Sages, Stories of Enlightenment by Robert Allman, or Along the Path of Enlightenment, 365 Daily Reflections by David Hawkins. Traversing the path of human consciousness is what souls have been doing from the beginning of time. We're all in the same boat, making our way across the sea, yearning to reach the eternal shore. The object is to have fun on our travels. For in truth, growing through these soul tasks is the entire reason we're here. So, are empaths a sign of human evolution? Excuse me. Once again, this wonderful woman, Paige Bartholomew, who is a licensed psychotherapist, she also holds a master's degree. From St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas. And as a psychotherapist, it's amazing how even they are beginning to realize that there's more to being an empath than being, they used to refer to people like empaths as sensory processing, as having a sensory processing disorder. Like, you know, we just don't process things very well. Okay, we pick up on all the energies around us. You know, like when I go to New York, I freak out over tall buildings around me, but it's the energy vibrating from those buildings towering over me that's freaking me out. Not necessarily the building, it's the energy that's flowing from them. I have stood at the Niagara Falls, and I have watched that water rush, and I had to back away from the edge because the energy from the falls water was sucking me in. It was so powerful. So there's something about being energy sensitive and picking up on high emotions in a room that can really throw us off center, throw us out of whack. Sometimes if too much input comes in all at once, people don't realize this, people around me, I may be having a panic attack. They just see me, oh, that's the old Duchess, you know. Where'd she go? She left the room. Where is she at? Oh, she went in the other room. She's in there by herself watching TV. I had to go. But I'm not going to make an announcement. Hey, everybody, you know, y'all are really plucking my nerves right now with all this energy and talk and all this loud and all of this activity around me. I got to go. I just go and find me some safety. Being an empath isn't just some woo-woo label that New Agers made up to make themselves feel special. We've learned that our nervous system is actually wired differently than most people. So I know there's a lot of empaths out there listening to this. Now, the gifted empath. Okay, once again, this Paige Bartholomew refers to sensory processing disorder as a sensory processing difference. Okay? In her professional view, it's not a disorder. It's a manifestation of human evolution. Empaths, sensitives, and those with sensory processing differences may well have abilities that regular people often marvel at, including the ability to sense subtle sound, light, and energy vibration, emotional subtlety, and even mystical phenomena. Okay. In recent years, we've seen rapid increases in the numbers of children that are born with sensory processing differences. You know, even your autistic children, they have sensory processing differences. Is it possible that this is a sign that the human race is processing or progressing toward a superior state? The ability to take in much larger amounts of sensory data is an evolutionary leap for our species. I want you to know that if more people evolve and become empaths, a lot of the stuff going on around the face of this earth would not be happening. You know, it's a sad thing. I don't watch TV. I don't watch shows like Jerry Springer. I don't like watching Payne. In the beginning, when it first came out, what, 4 seasons ago, I used to watch Empire. But then I couldn't watch the pain of the father and them doing all kinds of dirty stuff to each other. That was sickening to me. It just caused me so much angst that I stopped watching the show. How could people be so mean and cruel to their family members and their loved ones? It was just something that I just could not tolerate. I could not watch. I could not see. You know? So there are a lot of things we empaths, we don't watch the news. As an empath, when I hear on the news that at the border they're snatching these babies away from their mothers, not only do I become the mother, I'm the mother whose baby is taken away from her. Oh, my gosh, the pain that mother must be feeling. But I also flip and I become the baby, the 4-month-old baby who was probably being nursed by the mother and now is in some stranger's arms. And the baby doesn't know what to do because where is that familiar, warm woman that I used to have my arms wrapped around and used to love me? I mean, I feel it all, so I don't watch the news. I can't watch that. I just sit there. I want to cry. because it's not a sympathy thing. It's a I have become them thing, and I have become each individual one of them thing. Each one of them, the baby, the teenager, the four-year-old, you know, the mother, the father, where's my baby? You got the mother over there at some detention place in Mexico. You got the baby shipped off into Chicago. What is that? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to feel that. Unless I can do something about it, I can't listen to it. But we empaths, when the time is right and we can do something, we'll know exactly what to do because we have felt it. We'll know exactly what they need to have done because we know we have been them and we know what they need, so therefore we know what we need. That's how empathy works. Here's a quick checklist. Are you an empath? With sensory processing differences? Hypersensitive to touch. Touch may be uncomfortable or ticklish, may avoid tactile stimulation, or you could be hyposensitive to touch. May crave touch or seek out strong sensory input. Difficulty with self-soothing. You have trouble calming yourself. Requires a lot of outside help to process life's challenges or sensory avoidant behaviors. Afraid of heights, afraid of things towering over you, loses balance easily, avoids fast movements, avoids hugs and eye contact, sensory seeking behaviors, craves fast moving. So you see, you can flip on either side, this way or that way. Sensitive to negativity. Negative talk, can't stand it. Scary stories, don't watch them. Violence or cruelty on TV, the news, etc., not my thing. Social avoidance, overwhelmed by sensory input in crowds. Oh, that's me. Did I ever tell you how my son bought me for my birthday Tina Turner tickets, concert tickets, and I could not go. He wanted to surprise me. There's no way in the world I could have gone and been in all that crowd and all that noise. We also like to spend a lot of time alone. Hypersensitive to noise, distracted by noise that others don't notice, fearful of noise. Hypersensitive smell. My mother tells me I can smell things a mile away. Nobody else can smell them, but I smell them. What is that? Hypersensitive to sights. So you don't have to have all of these things as an empath. These are things that empaths have. So you may have a handful of these things and not all of them. All right? Mystical experiences of any kind in a conflict. Deep sense of wanting, a peaceful world, but personally experiences inner turmoil. The two don't seem to match. I remember my therapist used to tell me all the time, you need to get out, you need to meet some people, you be by yourself, you're all alone, you're isolating. You shouldn't isolate. You know, especially people in recovery. Hey, you don't isolate, go to meetings, do this, blah, blah, blah. You should not be by, you know, don't isolate because your disease is trying to get you alone so it can just snatch you up. You know what I'm saying? And you'll fall off the wagon. You just go out there and you have a relapse. And then I got me this wonderful sponsor, and my sponsor says, you're not isolating. You insulate. This is your way of protecting yourself. And you have an insulation barrier around you. And you dip outside when, you know, you feel like you want to be around folks, and then you insulate, you know? So we have a lot. There's self-care for highly sensitive people. It's not easy to live as a highly sensitive person. The empathic brain doesn't filter unnecessary stimuli the way other people's brains do. because of this, highly sensitive people tend to take in more and more movement, more voices, more flashes of color, more sense, more feelings, more energy. Empathic SPDs wear out fast. Their brains use more battery power per minute than the next guy. They tend to get sick more easily than others. Traversing, being able to pick up so much sensory and energetic stimulation floods them with more information about the world than other people get. Some people think this is fun. Well, it can be if you know what you're doing with it. But it can also be exhausting. If this is true for you, consider abandoning your attempts to fit in and to be like other people or everyone else. You're not like everyone else. You're differently abled. When you find yourself in an unbearable situation, instead of forcing yourself to suffer through to the point of exhaustion, anxiety, or panic, choose to care for yourself in new ways. It's your right, and in fact, it's your responsibility to yourself to design your environment in a way that supports your well-being. Now, some examples of self-care before we go. Your emotions. Many empaths feel other people's emotions so exquisitely that it can be hard to tell who the emotion belongs to. Practice asking yourself, is this feeling mine or theirs? Then there's merging. Empaths had a tendency to merge with others. Some call it leaky boundaries, but this label overlays a negative connotation to something which is actually pretty wonderful. Merging with and feeling another's experience as one's own, this is not a weakness. This is a superpower. Society just hasn't caught on yet, because you see, if more people merged with and had feelings of another's experiences, there wouldn't be a whole lot of stuff going on the way it's going on. You know, so this is not something to be afraid of. You know, it's not a weakness. It's a superpower. Sensory overstimulation. Just living in your own body can be overstimulating. The feeling of digestion in the belly may be interpreted as a strange uncomfortable feeling. Pain may be felt more intensely than it is by others. The sound in the ears can be extreme. Being too warm or cold may be too much for the brain to process. Caring for yourself means learning to read the signs your body is giving you. If your internal sensations feel like too much, take a break and sit alone in a quiet place for 20 minutes. More wattage. Living in a body may seem simple enough for most people, a non-issue even. But for empaths, it may take a certain level a purposefully focused attention just to manage it. You know, I have a son, and it's the one in California. I believe that he's one of them super empaths. And I think he absorbs a lot. And he goes to great lengths to protect his environment from himself. But I don't think he realizes or calls himself an empath. He just does this. And people usually just kind of picture him as being antisocial. He's not. He's overprotective of who he is and what he is and how much stimulus he can take. Because we are starting out of the gate using our attention and energy to manage internal and external stimuli, it means that less is available for regular life. An empath's brain is literally running more programs than the average human being. Self-care means getting enough rest and alone time. You may need more frequent breaks or to work fewer hours than other people. Love and care for that special body you've been given. So I want you empaths out there to make sure that you take great love and care of that special body you've been blessed with, okay? Because we empaths are literally the miracle of human evolution happening right before the world's eyes. And, yeah, I'm an empath. Yeah, I'm a miracle. And so a whole bunch of folks across the face of this earth. We just have to remember that and not get caught up in feeling sorry for ourselves because we are so different. You know, we should relish in the fact that we're different and stop all that depression stuff. Well, that's our show. I've given a lot of me. I'm losing my voice. I miss Fabio. I don't know where she's at, but I plan on doing a lecture show today, so I wasn't going to do a discussion show. Fabio, as my co-host, hopefully will be with me on the third Sunday of this month, and that date for everyone wanting to know will be Father's Day. Whoa, Father's Day, the 17th of June. So we'll have a Father's Day show, and God willing, Fabio will be here with me. And that'll be it. Sounds good? Sounds good to me? Sound good to you? Take care. Stay blessed. Stay loving. And raise those energies. Raise them up. Work through those chakra points. Get on up here. And start feeling. The more people who feel as empaths on the face of this earth, the higher we'll raise the level of the earth energy to combat some of these ills that are being forced upon us across the face of this earth. Okay, so this is Duchess signing off, saying good night. Here you go. Thank you.